Okay. Everybody needs help. You know, everybody knows how to do everything. Forget, you know, sometimes working with people, you know, even when you work with people or raising kids, and, you know, they've all got special ways they want to do things sometimes. And, you know, you try to teach them, you try to tell them the best way to do it, but sometimes they've got their mind stuck in one mode, and that mode is my way mode. I want to do it the way I want to do it. This way is the best way. And you want to help them achieve things and great things and to learn and grow and save them from harming themselves sometimes and maybe others. And but sometimes they just don't want to listen. Sometimes they have to learn the hard way, learn on their own. So sometimes they got to be given the freedom to do the things they desire as they choose to do it. And a lot of times it doesn't work out so well. But hopefully they learn. But they think they've got it all figured out and know it all and how it all goes together. And then find out sometimes, or most of the times, it only brings frustration, it brings anger, it brings heartbreak sometimes when they fail at trying to do it their way instead of the way they were told to do it by experience or by someone with better knowledge. And, you know, but God does the same thing to us. You know, He lets us to go on with our own selfish ways and thoughts, and all the while trying to teach us and save us from disaster. But at some point, you know, He lets us exercise our free will. You know, I hate that free will stuff. It gets us in trouble. Free will. You know, our supposed freedom to do as we please and for our own benefit, or what we think is our own benefit, or what we think is right. You know, it's in our mind that that's what the right thing to do. So I'm going to read from Romans today, chapter 1. It's verses 18 to 32. Romans 1, 18, 32. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no such understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of the world we live in today. We see the wrath of God being revealed against all godlessness and wickedness. Other translations, instead of wickedness, uses righteousness. Of people who suppress the truth. They don't want to recognize God. They don't want to recognize God as creator, as savior, as Lord and savior over their life. You know, wrath is God's reaction to sin. Wrath isn't necessarily, you know, an anger, or it's not God's knee-jerk reaction to something. Wrath is just God's response to sin, because he doesn't accept sin. And we see it's got two parts. One is godlessness, and the other one is the wickedness or the unrighteousness. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, examples of the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. In the first four, those were sins of godlessness. Those were sins against God. And then the last group, the last six, were sins of what we would call wickedness or unrighteousness, because those were sin against other people. You know, there's a group that's sin against God, a group that's sin against other people. You know, quite the opposite of his two main commandments, love God and love others. That's what those were. And we know each person has an understanding. You know, we've kind of been through this before, but everybody has an understanding of God in some form. You know, in external form, we have creation, which shows a creator with a specific design of life. You know, it's an understanding that life was created from nothing by a divine being, not that nothing created life. It's much more faith to think nothing created something than it takes to believe that a divine being created everything. But that's also an internal form of understanding. You know, it's in a deep conscience level, there's a level there of a God who exists. And a God we seek in some form or manner, whether we admit it or not, we're looking for him. We're looking for him to be there. I think there's just that goodness still from creation in there that tells us he exists, he's there, he is creator. Some people call it conscience. I don't think it's conscience. I think conscience is a little piece that's left from creation that some of it's the Holy Spirit, you know, would be there, but the conscience is different. But regardless, there's a piece in every person that's searching, and they're searching for that God. They're searching for the answers to their problems. So no one has any excuse not to know God. You know, exterior, internal, everybody knows God. Doesn't mean everybody accepted God. Doesn't mean everybody wants to accept him. They know him and that he exists, but they don't glorify him or give him thanks for all the things he provides, salvation and all those things. He's there with us. And in turn, that's our minds not being right. And when our minds aren't being right, then our thinking becomes futile and our hearts are darkened. And it's a downward spiral. And he says we claim to be wise, but we become fools. You know, we're just the opposite. Our mind is the opposite. You know, we turn to our own man-made gods. And most of the time, that's ourself. Because we want to make the decisions. We determine what's right and wrong. We determine how we're to be. It says they rejected the truth of God. You know, they rejected the truth of God. You know, knowing Jesus and not obeying his word is exactly what Satan does. So if you know Jesus and you're not obeying his word, you got company. Satan does the same thing. Everyone has a knowledge of God, and everyone is accountable. You have to be a believer in Jesus and follow him. You have to have a relationship. It's not just knowing who he is. It's being accountable. It's that relationship with him that we all have to have. Otherwise, it's no different than the relationship Satan has with him. You know, and when people use their free will to make their choices, and they commit them over and over and over again, I think without the thought of God at all, there's no fear of God. Then I think we come to the point where God gives them over. That's not a good place to be in. God says, okay, go your own way. You know, he doesn't send fire and brimstone. That's not the wrath that comes down. He withdraws his protection. You know, he just removes himself from them. And he lets them be who they desire to be in their heart. He gives them over and allows consequences for their sin to take place. That protection that's holding them back is not there anymore when he lets them be who they want to be, when he turns them over to what their heart desires. You know, wrath isn't just at the judgment seat, and the opportunity for salvation isn't gone. God gives us over, but I don't think he gives us up. I don't think he gives up on us. Now, there are specific acts of judgment throughout the Bible. You know, we know about battles and the Noah and the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and earthquakes and things that happen. Specific instances of God turning judgment on people. But there's also the current wrath of being given over to our own desire, our own sin that's happening today. You know, that happens each and every day. That's happening now. Again, we see it all around us today. You know, he gives us over to sinful desires of our heart. You know, sin in disguise of freedom. Freedom of expression. Sin in disguise of, you know, that our desire of our heart. Maybe it is sex. Maybe it is just control. You know, it could be simple as food. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's power. Whatever that desire in our hearts are, he lets us have it. Go for it. I'll step out of the way. Try it. But it only brings broken relationships with God, broken relationships with people, unsatisfying outcomes. You don't get what you think you're going to achieve. And when you think you've got control, then your life's out of control. He says he gives us over to shameful lusts. You know, natural relations for unnatural relations. Those against God's order and purposes. You know, God's order of marriage between man and woman and the spiritual example of God in the church. It's of great importance to God. Because it shows his relationship to his people. Shows faithfulness on parties. Shows love amongst parties. And it's the way God intended it to be for his purposes, for growth and families to be. And we see the last one, because God was rejected, they turned him away. He gave them over to a depraved mind. I'm not going to read it all again, but there's 21 sins listed right there that people not only participate in, but approve of doing and promote. All of which we see every day. And I think you can read one of those in that list and you don't see it. If you watch the news at all, you don't see it every day. You know, God gives them over. You know, we have a LGBTQ+ community. That doesn't happen if God doesn't give them over. You know, people were shown, I watched the other day, shown a procedure on animals where they took, looked at a humane shelter and stuff like that, and they were showing, look, this is what's happening. They're killing these puppies, you know. They're actually going in and taking them out of the mother, and they're killing these puppies. Would you like to sign a petition? Because we want to get this stopped. And, of course, they were all upset, you know, and distraught, and signing, yes, I want to sign that. Of course, then they asked to sign the same thing for human babies. And they walked away. They just walked away. Upset. Not about what was happening, that they got tricked into showing who they were. You know, just in America, talked about Gen Z, Gen Z are the folks between 14 and 29. I guess got a few that fit in that range. It's born between 1997 and 2012. You know, that generation, that group of people. And I looked up several different things. The best figures, because not all are even required to report anything, but the best figures that they can get is 28% of that Gen Z group, those kids 14 to 29, have already died. Almost a third of the generation has passed away. Or should I say, they never got a chance, because they were aborted. They were murdered. Another group in America given over by God. Look at the violence you see today with police, different police entities, all in the name of righteousness. You know, not just men, but verbal and physical violence of women and young people. I think it's beyond what we would have believed not too many years ago would ever happen. But it's happening. They were given over. I'm not even going to go into AI again and all the evil that brings. It's worse every day. It's being used for evil. I did see, it's one thing I did see, another pastor, a true pastor that I do follow, showed, said, "Why don't you watch this video?" And it's a video of an older guy, and he's giving the message, you know, and all kinds of people, finally, somebody that's actually read the book, and somebody that knows, and a lot of things he said were correct, and some things maybe a little iffy, but he gained like a million followers. All kinds, thousands of comments. He wasn't real. None of it was real. I'm going to go to Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Study chapter, or Amos in Bible study. Amos is one of the minor prophets, we call them the minor prophets. Tend to speak of a current time judgment, wrath of God coming out, a current time. But it also, they always point to the end times as well, to when Christ is going to return and what's going to happen in the final days. And I think Amos 8, 11, and 12 speaks to that as well. Amos 8, 11, and 12 says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land." Not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And the people will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And I think we're coming that direction. You know, the word of the Lord is it's getting out, but there's places it can't. I read, you know, that in the 20th century, more Christians have been killed than the prior 19 centuries before then combined. You know, we're in a time where government passes laws to make things better, to appease people, by saying certain sins are okay. They're not, because those really aren't that bad. You know, it's just the time. We need to adjust for the times that we're in. And people need to make their own choices. And this one, we can go ahead and accept that. So we'll make it so. So the government has let us down in some cases. The churches, not all of them. Not all of them. Churches placing their stamp of approval on lifestyles not approved by God, no matter what it is. And with that, they allow a group of people to remain in despair and to lose hope. because they're saying it's okay. You know, they're in rough relationships. They don't understand things. They're saying it's okay. Well, they're not okay. They're searching. Of course, we have loss of life at churches and schools. You know, it's a fight on Christianity. It's a fight against God. Of course, now we have people taking over during worship service at churches. You know, it will continue. It will get worse unless God intervenes or the rapture takes place, because God has gave them over to be who they want to be. Well, I have an invitation in a minute. I've got a couple more sections to read. I have an invitation, and then we do have communion today. There's good news. Isaiah 56, 1 and 2. Isaiah 56, verses 1 and 2. Says, this is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. And the last one I want to read, the last section, is Romans 1. I want to actually go to the beginning of what we read, Romans 1, 16 and 17. 18:3-32 talks of God's wrath against sinful humanity. This is God's righteousness that he claimed that man was against. And this is our hope. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed. It's revealed. The righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amongst all the bad things, don't lose faith. Keep the faith. You know, wrath is being revealed. The word says it's being revealed, but so is the righteousness of God. It's being revealed. The gospel is still going out. It's still going out by a lot of people. It's just not the part we hear about the most. You know, many are coming to faith. As he said, it will be in the last days. You know, keep living by faith. Keep trusting. You know, salvation is close at hand. I think the end is soon. You know, we see all these things happening. It says, hold on to what you have. You know, keep that faith. Hold on to Christ. Blessed is the one who does this. You receive blessings. You know, but these communities, these pockets of people, you know, it's not widespread. You know, the trouble with the police now is in like 9 different pockets across the United States. And probably the places you can imagine where it will be. Where they're attacking police and ICE and things like that. It's not everywhere, but there are plenty. Those are the ones given over to those desires. But pray for these communities that have been given over. You know, I think that's our job. God hasn't given up on them. We shouldn't either. And God wants us to pray for them. God wants us to call them to repentance. God wants to call them to him. Let's pray. Father, your word